Today, Monday, June 8th at 11:45 a.m. I will start off with our legal statement. The chair and general manager of the Willmar Municipal Utilities Commission and our chief legal counsel have determined under Minnesota Statute 13D.021 that in-person meetings of the Municipal Utilities Commission are not practical or prudent due to the COVID-19 health pandemic and the peacetime emergency declared by Governor Walz pursuant to Minnesota Statutes Chapter 12, and that our meetings, including this meeting, shall therefore be conducted by telephone or other electronics pursuant to Minnesota Statute 13D.021 until such time as it is no longer impractical or imprudent for this commission to resume in-person meetings. Does anybody have any changes to our agenda today?
Chair Mattern, if I could, I'd like to add opening lobby under the general manager's report.
I have that added. Thank you, John. Anybody else have any changes to the agenda? If not, we'll move into the consent agenda. Today's consent agenda consists of the minutes from our May 26th meeting, as well as bill payments in the amount of roughly $700,000. I'd look for a resolution for approval of the consent agenda.
This is Carol. So move.
Second.
All right. We have a second. I've got a second from Commissioner DeBleek. Any questions on the consent agenda, the bill payments or minutes at all? Mr. Herr, a couple items you want to run through on the payments?
The voice is really...
Zach, it sounds like you're cutting out there.
Is it only me or everyone else? I'm kind of breaking up here. Even, you know, your voice is kind of cutting off.
I just heard you clearly now. Is everybody else coming through clear? Am I coming through clear to everyone else?
Yes.
Okay. Just clear.
All right. General Manager Herron, anything on the bill payments that you wanted to run through?
Chair Mattern, not unless there's questions. We have the capital projects highlighted. You know, we got about 3-4 of them on there. Unless there's additional questions, I would have nothing further to add.
Commissioners, any discussion on the resolution? All right, hearing none. Ms. Mathiasen, if you could take roll, please.
Certainly. Commissioner Erickson.
Aye.
Mattern.
Aye.
Lahmer.
Aye.
Mabou. Commissioner Mabou. Zach.
Aye.
Can you hear me? Thank you.
Yes. Hello. Okay. Can you hear me?
Thank you. Commissioner Weber.
Okay. Aye.
DeBleek.
Aye.
Magnuson.
Aye.
Thank you.
That carries. Thank you, everyone. Next on the agenda, we have the Planning Committee meeting minutes from June 2nd. And I'll turn that over to the Planning Committee Chair, Commissioner DeBleek.
Thank you, Justin. I guess we had discussions on several items. The first one being the South Substation to make some changes and improvements and replace some equipment out there at the South Substation, replacing some breakers or switches, whatever you want to call them. These switches were first installed back in the early 70s, so the equipment has pretty much seen its useful life, and it's they'd be replaced with rather than an oil filled switch, they'd be replaced with a gas filled switch. So after considerable discussion on the project, and we reviewed some documentation and PowerPoint, the committee came up with a recommendation to approve the project to move forward with it and approve the agreement from with DGR Engineering. So Second item on our agenda was the waste treatment plant project. There has been discussed for quite some time about the water treatment plant in the northeast well field, but making some changes and improvements out there. We discussed about putting in the hydro chlorine system, which was basically the type of system what everybody is moving to now, I understand it, for water treatment. And there again, we had considerable discussion about funding budgets and how this should move forward. That being an estimated almost little over $11 million project. The funding was talked about bonding for it, but that'd be a couple years out before we would be at that point. So right now, the committee made a recommendation to support staff's recommendation for the sodium hydrochloride system. And there's an agreement that needs to be approved with that, so to move forward with the bidding on that work. So item three was donations. We had some discussion about possibility of donating. Donation of the food shelf, Salvation Army, and the like. And I guess that was discussed. And as of right now, I think we're going to hold any donations until we see how things move forward with the COVID and those issues right now. So as of right now, the recommendation was to not make any donations to the Salvation Army or UCAP or Food Shelf. So had a little bit of discussion about our meetings on Zoom. And I think we've got that set up on a timetable to rediscuss how we're meeting, and like on the 22nd of June commission meeting. I guess with that, we did adjourn the meeting. The full minutes are posted if you want to look at it. So, but I would make a motion that we approve minutes of the Planning Commission from June 2nd.
And I second that.
So we have a motion from Commissioner DeBleek and a second from Commissioner Lahmer on the minutes. Any discussion on the motion or the minutes? Hearing none, Ms. Mathiasen, if you could take a roll on that.
Certainly. Commissioner Mattern?
Aye.
Lahmer?
Aye.
Mabou?
No one can hear me. Hello. I had a quick question, but no one heard my somehow I was in mute on my question. Hello?
Yeah. Commissioner Baboub, you're breaking up. If we can finish the vote, and then I'll have you ask your question after the vote, please.
Okay. Yes. Okay.
Thank you.
I vote for the resolution. Yes.
Thank you.
Commissioner Weber?
Aye.
DeBleek?
Aye.
Magnuson?
Aye.
Erickson?
Aye.
Thank you.
Okay. The motion carries. Commissioner Baboub, you had a question on the minutes.
Yes, I have a question. I'm still having some tough time because of my iPad. I'm going off and coming back again while the report was, going on by the by Mr. De Vleek, Commissioner De Vleek. I was wondering quickly in terms of the of UCAP, and I know that we put it the charity organizations. Do we usually ask RFP or some sort of reporting, how they serve, or is this something that, we just give them this donation without no restrictions at all? I was just wondering that question, just to put there. Can you hear me?
Yep. Commissioner Mattern, do you want me to take that?
Yeah, if you want to take that one, General Manager, that'd be great.
This would have been if we do a donation, would be a one-time donation. Conditions have not been talked about or addressed as far as what the conditions would be for the donation if we were to make one. Annually, if you're thinking of our annual donation, we do make an annual donation to UCAP and Salvation Army. And with those two donations that we make annually, there are restrictions or guidelines, criteria that need to be met with those donations. So if we were to move forward with a donation to any one of those agencies that Commissioner De Vleek identified, we could definitely talk about conditions for those donations when the time comes.
Okay, thank you.
Thank you. Commissioner Mabu, one real technical thing real quick here. If you're still having difficulties with the audio, you could mute on the iPad, and with the calendar invite, there is a phone number that you could call in and teleconference that way if that's helpful for you.
Okay, thank you.
All right. So continuing on with the agenda, we are now looking for a resolution for approval of the South Substation Modification Project. This includes an amended DGR Engineering Master Agreement. Maybe General Manager Heron, if there's a few additional comments that you had on this.
If you don't mind, I'd yield that question to Jaron Smith. Our staff engineer has been working with DGR on this project. He can provide greater detail.
That'd be great. Just a brief overview of what we're looking at here.
Yep, I can pull that up. So the master agreement we have with DGR was signed back in 2015, and it just outlines the standard terms and conditions of work with them. The task order we're specifically talking about here is the self-substation 69 kV modifications, which Commissioner De Vleek summarized in the minutes of our planning committee meeting. But as he said, some equipment has reached the expected end of life, and there's opportunity to improve some thermal ratings out at our self substation. Towards the end of that agreement with DGR, it's on page 3, it lists out the costs of the project. Right now, the estimated construction costs are at $541,300. There's a contingency, and the estimated engineering is $144,000. It even breaks down that engineering cost a little bit further to the design, bidding, construction, and final costs. So I would be willing to answer any questions, but that's kind of a summary of the project.
Thank you, Mr. Smith. Looking at this project as a whole, is there anything with this project that was unexpected, or is this pretty much on the timeline for the expected life on this one?
The expected life of the equipment is on schedule. We actually had anticipated replacing this a little bit earlier, but it got pushed back because we wanted to finish up the prime substation project first. There's a few other breakers, oil-filled breakers of this generation still on our system. Two at the power plant will get updated as we make the changes due to the power plant shutdown. And then there's a couple at the wind substation, which will get addressed after these other projects get completed.
Thank you. Commissioners, any other questions on this particular project? If not, I'd be looking for a resolution for approval.
I'll make that resolution. Oops, am I muted?
I'll second that, Commissioner okay. Erickson.
We have a resolution from Commissioner Lahmer and a second from Commissioner Erickson. Any questions on the resolution? All right, hearing none, Ms. Mathiasen, if you could take roll, please.
Commissioner Lahmer?
Aye.
Mabul?
Aye.
Weber?
Aye.
DeBleek?
Aye.
Magnuson?
Aye.
Erickson?
Aye.
Mattern?
Aye.
Thank you.
That resolution carries. Thank you, everyone. Next, we're looking for approval to proceed with the design of the water treatment plant, including the bidding of the on-site sodium hypochlorite system as an alternate or separately, and modifications to the Corolla Engineering Service Agreement. General Manager Heron, could I have you give us just a little bit more background on this one, please?
Sure. Thank you, Commissioner Mattern. This project's been ongoing. We have Joel Bregelman on the line. I'll let him get into some of the background work that we have completed up to this point. But we went into design for updates to our treatment plant probably 2 years ago, about a year ago. Or let me back up even further. When we went into design, we were hoping that we could take the stepwise approach to meeting our salty discharge. We are about 20-25% completed with design. We went to the PFA, Department of Health, PCA, and asked them if there would be any grant funding for this project as we were moving towards salty discharge by incorporating into the plant design what we could at this point in time without getting into the chloride discharge. However, we were unsuccessful at that time. Department of Health, MPCA, PFA loan funding, people told us it was all or nothing. We had to 100% comply with the salty discharge in order to qualify for any grant funds. So in addition to that, we also looked at system modeling and water quality a year ago or 2 years ago. And that was part of our discussion as well. Through that process, it was determined that we had some capacity left in our system based on the permits being pulled by the city. We were maybe 2 years out from tapping all our capacity at the plants. So at that time, the planning committee, along with the commission, felt that it would be appropriate to put this project on the shelf, and we continue to monitor grant funding availability, as well as our capacity and water quality needs, and let that drive when we move forward. We're at that point to where we feel at staff level that we should move forward with this, so we brought it to the planning committee. So maybe I'll turn it over to Joel. Joel, if you want to talk a little bit about the start of it, just as a refresher reminder for the commission, talk about the pilot project, you know, when you started that, which led to the biological, which you know, is why we need to pick it up today because of water quality and capacity, please.
As John said, this project was started in 2012 as a pilot project. We also did all the preliminary design. And at that time, we actually had a cost estimate of about $8 million. When we went to final design and we got to the 30%, the cost had risen significantly all the way to 14. And like John said, at that point, we actually put it on the shelf and decided we had to go for a rate increase. We also cut some things out of the project to get it back down to $12 million. But due to the, and then like you said, we did the water modeling, so we had a little bit of time, and we did go for the rate increase. And that brings us to date where we have water quality issues because of the nitrification, because of the ammonia in our water. We need to have the biological treatment plant to be able to remove this ammonia so we can get more water out of that. Plus we would carry a better chlorine residual and get closer to meeting all our water quality issues. And as John said, the town continues to grow and our demands keep going up. So it's a water quality and quantity issue. And the project would take, even from now, would be approximately 2 years to be completed. The part about the sodium hypochlorite, that's actually a chlorine generation system. We would
move away from our one-ton cylinders of chlorine. And that's the way the industry is heading. But as it's in here, it would be bid as an alternate. And you could possibly at that time decide whether you wanted to go ahead with the full project or not. But at this point, we should design for it and plan for it. It can be done at any time later on. So unless you have any questions, that's what I got.
Thank you, Mr. Heron and Mr. Bregelman, for the update on that. A question for either one of you, and I'm guessing that we're too premature to have any idea how close we're going to get to the final cost estimates on this project. And I know, as Mr. Bregelman pointed out, originally we were looking at $8 million, it climbed to $14 million. The goal was to get that down a little bit. Do we have any inclination as to where this might end up, or is that too early to tell until we get through this phase?
That's too early to tell, Commissioner Mattern. However, that is an excellent question. The engineer's estimate right now at the what they're calling a 25 design phase, design level, based on pricing that they're seeing coming in here this spring, this summer, their current estimate, as Joel indicated, is about $12 million right now. But they'll continue as we move through the project. They'll continue to update that number.
Thank you. Commissioners, any questions? If not, I would be looking for a resolution.
Yeah, hold on, Mr. Chair. I do have a question.
Commissioner Weber, go ahead.
Thank you. Some clarifications on the rate increase. We took water increases, about a year ago. How does that fit into this project? I don't quite remember.
Commissioner Weber, no, that's an excellent question. When we completed our rate study here a year and a half ago, we utilized the cost, or we incorporated the cost of this project into the rate study. And the assumptions that were used were the commodity sales at that time with a flat or a slight increase in commodity sales. So if our commodity sales hold, our rates, the rate increases that were adopted by ordinance should be adequate for covering the bond payments of this project. We will not have cash available to pay for it, but included in our rates, our rate study, were bond payments.
Commissioner Weber, does that answer your question?
Yes, thank you.
Good question. General Manager Heron, can I have you maybe real quickly address a little bit more on the past issues with the salty discharge and how that kind of plays into all of this as well?
Sure. Thank you, Commissioner Mattern. Salty discharge is actually on the wastewater side of the city's permitting. And they have to meet chloride levels in their wastewater discharge into the receiving stream. However, through probably a year long or longer in that study between the city engineers, the utility, our engineers, city staff, our staff, we had looked at all possible options at the time based on the technology that was available. And at the point in time when we went to the PFA and Department of Health and PCA for grant funding, we were looking at the most viable option would be to put in a softening plant on the utility side on the front end of the system so that for an increased cost in service, whether it be on the wastewater side or water side, that the customers would see a benefit to those increased costs. And that benefit would come in the form of softer water so that they would be able to remove their softeners in their homes and businesses. So that is still an issue that will need to be addressed as we go forward. We don't know what the outcome is. There's a lot legislatively. There's a lot of requests by the cities across the state, Minnesota. This is more of a federal issue than a state issue, but we deal with the state. The state's responsible for enforcing the chloride law. And there's some hope that there will be a reduction in the limits that we need to comply with. The city was given a 15-year variance, and they have, Joel, help me out here, they're maybe 4 years, 5 years into that 15-year variance, I would say. That sound about right, Joel?
It's actually a 20-year variance, and we're coming up on 5 years, so we have 15 years left.
Okay, thank you, Joel. So there will be more to come on the chloride issue. The chloride numbers that we're talking about here, and correct me, Joel, if I'm incorrect here, but the last estimate between our engineering firm and the city's engineering firm, we're looking at $100 million. And that'll be offset a little bit by what we can build into our plants with our improvements. But for the most part, we're talking $100 million here.
And so with the current design of the plant that we're now looking to kind of build off of, that includes options if we need to add that in the future or not. I mean, we've got some flexibility with that to address the salty discharge on our side.
Well, the plant current design, the biological, the softening would not remove the ammonia. So this would be part of that. And the plan that we looked at back then, it would made the most sense to actually build one water softening plant. So this water would then be pumped to wherever that location would be. So yes, this would be utilized.
Okay, thank you. All right, so we are looking for a resolution for approval of the work of the new design information for the water treatment plant.
I'll make that resolution.
Zach, I'll second that.
All right. So I have a resolution from Commissioner DeBleek and a second from Commissioner Maboob. Any additional questions on the resolution? All right. Hearing none, Ms. Mathiasen, if you could take roll, please.
Commissioner Maboob?
Aye.
Weber?
Aye. Sorry, I was on mute.
No problem. DeBleek?
Aye.
Magnuson?
Aye.
Erickson?
Aye.
Mattern?
Aye.
Lahmer?
Aye.
Thank you.
That resolution carries. Thank you, everyone. Good discussion. Next on our agenda, we have a wind turbine report for the month of May. Mr. Marty.
Thank you. Yes, as you see for the month of May, we ended up with availability on both turbines, 97.7 on turbine 3, 94.7 on turbine 4, for total kilowatt hour output of 552. So if you scroll down and look at the year-to-date numbers, can see how that compares to the last 4 years. Not the best, not the worst. And that puts us in at about 3.18 million kilowatt hours for year to date. So we're a little bit ahead of track from last year at this point, and hoping for some more wind, I guess. We got some over the weekend.
I'm thinking the wind from yesterday and today should get us our June quota so we can have a light breeze the remainder of the month.
We hope so, yes.
Perfect.
We did, just a heads up too, we had the contractor was out last week and was able to perform the blade inspections, and we'll be awaiting that report hopefully in the next week or so.
Do you have any anticipation of what to come out of that?
They did mention that turbine, we were focusing on turbine 3 here. There is one of the blades that they mentioned has a repair that they're categorizing as a critical repair or something that needs to be, should be done this year. And then we'll see what else they came up with on other maintenance repairs. They also mentioned as well that the repairs that we had done in the last couple of years are looking just fine and no issues. So we felt good about that as well.
Well, that sounds good. All right, any other questions on the wind turbine report? If not, General Manager Heron, I'll have you bring us to the cost of power report.
Good. Thank you, Chair Mattern. Cost of power report for month of April, way over to the side. You can see we're sitting at five. Whoa.
Can't see it.
Oh, it's not up.
No, it is. I see it. Never mind.
For the month, we're sitting at 5.7 cents. For the year, we're sitting at 6.9 cents. And you can see our average trend line that goes across the top. So our higher price power month, we're just coming into them as we get into our June, July, August will be our higher power supply cost month. But so far, year to date, we are running with very respectable power supply costs. Any questions?
We don't, well, diminished use during the pandemic right now have a bearing on that, on the cost?
Supply costs? Nah, depending on the load and energy ratio, it could. At this point, through the end of April, we are not seeing it, but our bigger month is going to be April.
Okay. Thanks.
It could push our power costs up slightly because from what we're seeing so far, the demand is still up there, but the energy is down. So that ratio, when energy goes down, your power supply costs typically overall will go up. But more to come.
Thank you for that report. Any other questions on the cost of power? All right, moving on to number six on the agenda. We have an update from Joe Schmidt. I'll turn this over to our compliance and HR manager, Ms. Johnson.
Good morning, commissioners. Each month, Joe sends us a message on his silent impact. We're halfway through his series now that we are committed with him, and it's been, I think, a thing for all of us. Month, and this month he's reminding us not everybody is in the same boat, but we are in the same boat. So with that, Mike, you want to start that video?
Let's try, Jill. I have it here, but okay, it's not working for me.
John, try and increase the window size there. I think the play button was maybe at the bottom.
There we go. Thanks, Justin.
Hi, everybody. Joe Schmidt here with your impact resolution for
is it coming through?
The month of June.
In the yes.
NFL, now the referee would have the flag, he would throw it, and he would call a penalty for piling on. Doesn't it feel like we're getting piled on right now between the pandemic and the social unrest? So how are you? How are you handling this right now? Remember things like we're all in this together. We're all in the same boat. There will be a new normal when this is done. Now, that's all true, and that's all fine and dandy. But a friend of mine described it this way, and I thought it was magnificent. His name is Bruce Turkel, and he wrote a blog where he said, we are not all in the same boat. We're in the same storm, but we're not in the same boat. And when you think about it, we all know people right now whose boats may be shipwrecked, or maybe heading to the rocks, or maybe on some rough waters, while other people may have a little more smoother sailing. But no matter where your boat is, you need to do two things during this time. You need to listen and you need to care. When you listen and care, you make connections. And when you make connections, you can make an impact. So reach out to people and make sure you listen and let them know you care. And if you need some help, you need somebody, don't be afraid to reach out and ask for help. Reach out to somebody who will listen and care, and it'll have an impact on you. I have an assignment for you this month. Tonight when you're laying in bed, think of three things that have changed during the pandemic for you. Maybe three positive things that you can think of that happened during the pandemic. I'll tell you mine. Number one, we figured out we had too much stuff. We cleaned closets, we cleaned the basement, the garage. We got rid of stuff, had way too many clothes. That's the way it works out. Number two, I was ruled by my schedule. I was way over scheduled. And guess whose fault that was? That was mine. And number three, I realized how much I miss connecting with people. I realized how much I miss my coworkers, my friends, my clients, going out and speaking engagements. I need to get back out there, and I can't wait to connect with people again. Now I'm doing it any way I can, just by reaching out on a phone call or a Zoom happy hour, whatever I can do. During this time, don't think about what you've lost. Try to think about what you've gained. Remember, everybody's boat's different right now, and if you listen and you care, you can help make that boat go on smoother waters. I'm going to close off this impact resolution with a quote from Dalai Lama. He said, our prime purpose in life is to help others. And if you can't help others, at least don't hurt them. That's our impact resolution for the month of June. We will have a better July.
Excellent. Thank you again, Ms. Johnson. And a thank you to Mr. Schmidt for his continued wisdom. All right, continuing on with our agenda, we now have our general manager's report. And John, I'll let you, at the end of that, go into the lobby discussion as well.
All right, thank you, Chair Mattern. We have a planning committee meeting, a couple items coming up there. Update on commodity sales. We get through the end of month here, we'll provide another update. Our power plant substation control building, and also review our power plant environmental studies. And that one will probably be coming up shortly as that report. We should be receiving that at staff level here tomorrow. So hopefully they'll be on schedule. We'll get some insight on what that looks like. Also, Labor Committee, we'll be calling a Labor Committee. I'll be reaching out to Commissioner Weber to discuss that about office structure and also the different positions that we are filling here. On the lobby, I asked for the lobby to be added to the agenda. When we spoke last time with the commission about opening the lobby, we talked June 15th or July 1st, and the commission indicated that we should work with a June 15th date for starters and bring it back up. Being that we do not have a meeting before June 15th, I'm reaching out to the commission, soliciting your input. From a staff perspective, they'd like to see the lobby stay closed yet until we either can start collecting or July 1st, the earlier of the two. From a safety perspective, some of the items, concerns that were expressed by the commission at our last meeting, we've addressed them. Kevin was able to reach out and get sanitizers and foot markings for social distancing in the lobby. We'd limit our lobby to three people in the lobby at a time, or at least set it up and note it on the doors that maximum is three individuals in the lobby. And we understand sometimes you bring interpreters and or kids with, so you might have four people in there at times, depending on the circumstances. And we also this morning received notice from the League of Minnesota Cities reminding all cities that we cannot start collecting yet, that we need, or not start collecting, start disconnecting for collections yet. So that's still on hold. Have not heard from MMUA yet. They're having discussions as well in conjunction with the league, with the Department of Commission or Commissioners. To try and work out some sort of arrangement so we can start the process of disconnecting for collections and applying late charges. So with that said, I would solicit input from the commission whether they would like us to open the office here on the 15th and or wait till July 1st, or when we can start collecting if we're given the opportunity to start collecting prior to July 1st.
Thank you, John, for the report and the question there. I'll start off by saying that I think that I would be in favor of starting to get things opened up June 15th, including the distancing and other measures that we need to implement to make that happen. I would add with the caveat that I think that we should allow staff to have the flexibility that as they monitor the numbers on a daily basis, if there's another spike in the community, or if there is an outbreak or somebody gets ill at the utilities itself, that they would have the flexibility to go ahead and close down the lobby again prior to another commission meeting if they needed that option. That would be my personal preference and recommendation, but commissioners, I would open it up for additional input or questions.
This is Carol. I would agree with what you've said, Justin. The other one would be for the staff. If people are abusing the social distancing, and I know that, as you said, if they have children, more than that, three people would come in because a family unit is considered like a person. But if that starts to be uncontrollable, then maybe it's reduced to one person in the lobby at a time, and you almost have to monitor that so that it doesn't become excessive of people coming into the lobby. They're following the social distancing rules.
Thank you, Commissioner Lammer. Other commissioners?
Commissioner Blake, I don't see the need to really rush into opening lobby. You know, that's only a week away, the 15th. So I would be in favor of keeping it closed until the July 1st date.
Thank you, Commissioner DeBleek. Okay, other commissioners?
Yeah, this is Zach. I'll agree with you, you know, just as you mentioned, yeah, basically, you know, open, and if the staff sees a spike or something changes, then they have the ability to close down again.
Thank you, Commissioner Maboub. Commissioner Magnuson, do you have any thoughts?
To me, I think it's all about the safety of the employees, and whenever they feel it's safe to open and they can social distance when they come in there, I think we should be up to Mr. Heron and others to open.
Good thoughts. Commissioner Erickson.
Yeah, I would agree with you, President Mannard, I'm open to opening at the 15th, and then leaving it at the staff's and General Manager Heron's discretion.
Thank you. Commissioner Weber, any thoughts?
No thoughts. I'm good.
Okay, thank you. General Manager Heron, I think that looking to move forward, it sounds like there's somewhat of a consensus that we can look at starting to reopen. I think we need to do so cautiously. I think that certainly is the message that everyone would agree with giving staff flexibility to make adjustments as they need to. Whether that includes maybe a soft opening, monitoring who's in that lobby, at some point, even if they have to, lock the doors early for a day, if it becomes an issue, then we need to address that and give them the flexibility to do so. But I want to make sure that whenever we do open that, of course, that we have the supplies and the things that we need in the lobby in terms of hand sanitizer and markings on the floor and all of that as well. So. Does that give some direction and guidance?
Yes, thank you, Commissioner Matter and commissioners. I'll just do a quick recap here. The consensus from what I heard is we should open up on the 15th with caution, and if our customers do not maintain social distancing and follow the signage that we put up that we limit people to three in the office, we should shut it back down again for a day or two, and hopefully that they will comply with the social distancing requirements to provide a safe atmosphere both for our customers and for staff.
Yes, and again with the note that if staff does get ill or if they have other concerns, that they have the flexibility to do what they need to do with that.
Okay, thank you.
All right. Anything else to come before the commission today? If not, I'd entertain a motion to adjourn.
So moved.
Second.
We have a motion and a second to adjourn. This meeting is now adjourned. Thank you.